Hallelujah. Feels like forever since I've spoken in this pulpit. The last 3 weeks were good, weren't they? Yeah. Did you like Renee? She just calls it straight up, boy. Yeah. I had never heard Renee preach. And felt that morning or before because of the prophetic conference that we should have Lauren share for a bit. Lauren's had a number of supernatural encounters. He was a fifth degree black belt, and Lauren's one of the guys that I travel with because he's a seer and he does the personal prophecy. And you know, you guys, we do that. There's a couple of things that are in my heart this morning that I want to share. When we do a conference, the reason for that is to get somebody, to get people here who bring something about heaven that maybe we haven't experienced yet. Because, you know, I learned a long time ago, I care more about what a speaker carries of God than what they speak. You know, if you're a preacher, all of us preachers have certain sermons that are messages that are our go-to messages. But I also realized, probably when I went on the road and started preaching in 2001, I realized that there were certain topics that were very close to my heart and areas where God and I had connected at a deeper level that seemed to come out of me no matter where I went. Certain things just sort of seemed to come out. And so when we do a conference like that, we have people come in so that they can release something and really to open something in the spirit. And I felt to talk about this a little bit. So I'm going to talk about this a little bit today, excuse me, and probably next week, and then we'll see what happens. One of the things that God wants his people to do is become aware of, no, that's not the right way to say it, is to have encounters with his presence, because encounters help us to redefine the God that we serve. And remember the statement that I've made many times over the years is that you and I define God by our latest encounter, by our last encounter with him, something that we knew in God. I heard a story this weekend already that someone said, there's someone that I know that was powerfully touched at this conference, like life-changingly touched, some little spark of something in one service, and it got bigger in the next one, and then it got bigger in the next one. And the person who's dealt with things all their life was basically set free from things that they just had never known how to deal with. But being in the conference and under that anointing, there was things that just opened on the inside of us. That's the reason that we do those conferences. Is to give you and I an opportunity, and of course the wider body that knows that we do conferences here, to give an opportunity for people to come and spend several hours in the presence of God. Much as I love you all on Sunday morning is not going to change your life. And as much as we want it to some degree, the Bible says this in Proverbs. David was talking about the wicked, and he goes, you know, they prosper and they leave everything to their children and they do well, and their children have all this stuff and they have lands and houses. And he said, and I was in bitterness of spirit, and then I went into the sanctuary and I saw their end. And I was reading that one time, and you know how the Lord can take his word and bring something out of it that you didn't even think about? And I immediately wrote in the margin of my Bible, I got one of those wide margin Bibles to write in, and I immediately wrote in that the sanctuary is meant to be a place of encounters. That Sunday morning's meant to be a place of encounters. That's why we do worship the way we do it. That's why we do worship, where they get a chance to go and go in deeper and go into spontaneous worship, because when they switch from the song that we know and they go into something where they're just singing, you have an opportunity to go, okay, huh, what are they singing? Why are they singing this? It's going into that music without walls. It's going into that where you actually get to engage your spirit and begin to, yes, Lord. It's not worship until you engage your spirit. You can stand there for the whole service and sing the words and be thinking about the dog back home and the fact you forgot to let him out and he's probably going to pee in the living room now. You can be thinking about 1,000 other things. But until you shut that down and focus in worship, it's at that point that it becomes worship. And it's at that point that you and I begin to sense the presence of God. Until we do that, you can stand there and think about a whole bunch of other things, right? You can do the same thing when I'm preaching. So a number of years ago, I was just beginning my traveling ministry. The Lord had been speaking in my heart about traveling. And so it was 2001. And so my wife and I talked about this. We looked for somebody to pastor the church. And I felt like the Lord said, why don't you let her do it? So we put Ann in 2001 as the pastor of the church. That ruffled a few feathers because some people don't believe in women ministries. But it was interesting because God believed in it, because as soon as I put her in and I started traveling, the attendance went up and so did the finances. So the Lord obviously had something there that was good. And I got counseling, so I got better. But I was at this little church in Lac La Biche. Anybody know where Lac La Biche, Alberta is? Oh, look at all you northerners. Oh, man. And it was my first place, somebody that actually invited me out to preach a weekend at their church. And so I had copious notes and I was ready to go, you know, and I'm sitting there and they're on the last song. And in the middle of the last song, I'm just worshiping and I hear this on the inside, supernatural church. And it was strong enough that it wasn't just the inward witness on down it. I heard, wow, supernatural church. And I sat right down and I wrote the words out, and I'm sitting there thinking, and then I thought, you want me to preach on this? Well, we're on the last song, right? So I'm like, so I thought, well, okay, grab two or three scriptures, because if it's God, he'll help me through. And so I put down, you know, Acts chapter 2, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other tongues, and Joel chapter 2, verse 28, you know, the last days I'll pour out my spirit, etc. I put three scriptures down, the song ended, they did their offering and their announcements and called me up. And I didn't have an iPad back then, I had a notepad, and I got up with that notepad and my Bible and preached. And here's the interesting thing, for the next 3 years, as I traveled all over the nation and then to other countries, my theme was supernatural church. And here's the deal. See, because when I started to study it after that, and I started to look up the scriptures, and I realized that God was saying, I want my church to be more supernatural than what it is. And the implication was, for me, that I'm not doing it, that we're not in the West. And my frame of reference is the West. I've been to some of the other countries where there's a whole lot more supernatural things that happen. But my frame of reference was Canada, and primarily the calling was going back and forth across Canada and bringing in an awareness of this fact that God wants his church to be more supernatural. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because, you know, as Pentecostals and charismatics and full gospel, we think we are. But really, what we have become so often is a nice evangelical church with a little Shundai prayer line at the end. And you get a few people that come up and give you a courtesy drop and things carry on and away we go. At the same time, I remember hearing Bishop Bill Hammond. Bill Hammond is the head of Christian International. Probably the organization that's done more to bring the awareness of the prophetic and how it works to the body of Christ than any other organization, books and teachings on the difference between simple prophecy and the anointing to prophesy and the gift of prophecy and then the office of the prophet and all the variations on that. And that was his material that was so helpful to me when the Lord was dealing with me about the prophetic. But he said this about the same time. The Lord, he was praying and the Lord spoke something to his heart. And he said it all, he almost burst into tears. He said, the Lord said this to him about the state of the North American church. My people have lowered their expectations of me. I thought, wow. Like our God created the universe. Created the molecular structure of everything in this room, designed each of us, and we've lowered our expectations. Now, he wasn't talking about the world. He was talking about my people. My people have lowered their expectations. I said, dear God, forgive me, because this is when he was dealing with me about not doing supernatural things, not stepping out, not trusting him. So I want you to go with me. Go with me to Joel chapter 2. Let's look at a couple of things here this morning. So I'm reading in my regular devotions one day. You know something that's good to know? there's times when God will spark something in your heart and you'll feel a little nudge to, I should read that chapter more, or I should pray for this subject right now. Do it when he sparks it, because it often will have a season. In other words, if you'll do it when he says do it, then you'll get revelation from it and things will begin to come for you. But if you leave it for 3 or 4 weeks because you're busy and I've done this so many times and had to repent, then you'll find when you go back to it, the freshness isn't on it and it's harder to get and it takes you a lot longer to get. Little things. So in this season where God's dealing with me on this stuff, I want my church to be more supernatural. My churches, my people have lowered their expectations and all that. So I'm reading in Joel chapter 2. I might have been studying in verse 28. And I'm reading all through this amazing stuff that we read about the last days. And it shall come to pass afterwards that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And as I'm reading it, I heard this on the inside. And whether it was me or the Holy Ghost or just the inward witness, I don't know. But I heard this clear as anything. You don't believe that. And I said, Lord, I talk in tongues. We pray for people. We prophesy. We believe for this. I know this is going to happen. And then he said this to my heart. You believe it for others, but you don't believe it for you. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's right. Because it's easier to believe for something for somebody else than it is to believe for it for yourself. You ever notice that? Somebody comes up and says, oh, brother, would you pray for me? Such and such a need. And they tell you your need. And you're like, oh, sure, I'll pray for you. Shandai, shandai, shandai. Bless, Lord. Bless, 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 shandai. And then you walk away. You're not responsible to see if it ever comes to pass. It's like you give him a little shandai and away you go. Right? And don't, if somebody says, will you pray for me? Don't say, oh, yeah. And then walk away and don't, you liar. You just said you'd pray for him. So I got convicted on that years ago. Somebody says, will you pray for me? I said, yep, let's pray right now. On the bus? Will you ask for it? You scared to be praying on the bus? Or I'll say this, you know, somebody's walking out the door. Remember to pray for me. I said, I'll pray for you whenever the Lord brings you to remembrance. That you laugh. That's how you stay honest. That's a little Christian phrase. How are you doing? Doing good. Okay, see ya. Pray for me. Yep. As soon as you said yep, you agreed. Come on. It's the truth. Say amen or oh my, but say one of them. It's the truth. He said that you don't really, you believe this for others, but not for yourself. And I realized it was true. And I realized that he was telling me this. Now listen to this. He was telling me this so I could do something about it. Now I want to flip your brain here for a minute. Because see, I read that for years. Come to pass afterwards. Pour out my spirit on your flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. I'm 63 tomorrow. I'm still having visions, just so you know. Okay, so just the young thing there. But the dreams are becoming more commonplace. He wanted me to start asking for it. So I believe this, and I believe it's going to happen someday, but I never believed it for me in my church. I never believed it. Well, okay, yeah, it's going to come to pass. You're going to pour out your spirit on all flesh. Obviously, there is a corporate fulfillment of this in the body of Christ in the last days, right? Because he goes on to say the sun and the moon, this will happen and be like blood and fire of smoke and all that kind of thing. So there is a corporate fulfillment, but just because there's a fullness of corporate fulfillment doesn't mean that you can't lay hold of that word and see it come to pass in your own life to the degree that God wants it for you. Right? The Bible's corporate, but it's also personal. We make the mistake of seeing something in the scripture and saying, well, whenever God's going to do that, woohoo, maybe we'll be here. But I've found that when we find a scripture that we think that's good, because God's no respecter of persons, you can lay hold of that scripture and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is part of my covenant. I'm laying hold of this scripture right here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord when your kids aren't serving the Lord. Right? You can lay hold of that thing. As a matter of fact, until you lay hold of it, it will remain in the intent of God sitting above you in the Spirit. That's the whole thing about the purpose of the Word of God. Remember, it says there in the beginning of my Bible, I said this a little bit earlier, in Matthew, the New Testament of Jesus Christ. And I wrote right in underneath that, with Craig Broker. That word testament means covenant. You know what that means? It means that everything from that page through to Revelation is a covenant that he's made with me, and there's stuff in there for me. That book is my copy of what he said he wants to do in my life. Right. We used to sing it. Every promise in the book is mine. And then we went through and skipped all those promises and said, well, that's not for us today, and that's only for the Jews. And, well, you know, that was for the disciples, but it's not for today. And the devil sold us this bill of goods that said there's a whole bunch of reasons why the Bible's not for you. Why did he do that? Because the one thing he can't stop is if you'll take a scripture and lay hold of that scripture and stand on that scripture will start to produce for you. The word will come alive when you put a demand on the word. My word goes forth out of my mouth. And it shall not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in the thing that I send it, in Isaiah 55, verse 11. So you see this activation of his word is primarily dependent upon your and my adoption of that word in our own life. Are you listening as fast as I'm preaching?
Yeah.
So he wanted me to start asking for it. In other words, Joel 2:28 being the representative scripture to things supernatural. Well, here's the deal. I didn't know I was allowed. I didn't know I was allowed to like, I can ask you for visions and dreams. I can ask you to prophesy. Wow. Because see, he convicted me when he said, you believe this for others, but not for you. Well, I had friends that would prophesy and lay hands on people and see healings and all that. I thought, well, that's them, you know, that's their calling. But we blow it when we think, well, your calling gets you all those things. You know, do you ever read in Mark chapter 5, these signs shall follow those that believe in my name. They'll cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You know, and he lists five things there. Take up serpents, if they drink any deadly thing, it won't harm them. He lists five things. And it's not according to your ministry or your calling or your preaching. He said, these signs follow those who believe. Meaning they don't follow those who don't believe. Come on. And there's a whole bunch of churches that don't believe. Yeah. Well, let's be one that does believe. Yes. Come on. So if that's not for today, then just rip Mark 16 out of your Bible and throw it away. I should do that one time here. I did that one time in church. I was dealing with people's unbelief. There was an old religious church, not this one. You're all wonderful, sweet, pure, and holy. And I was preaching, and I was the new guy, right? I was the new associate pastor in this church that was 50 years old. The organist came off of the ark. And I was the new music minister. I walked up to the platform one day on the way up to get the microphone, and she looked over at me and she said, Pastor Craig. So I went over to the organ. She said, I sure like the way the other guy leads worship. Just knifed me right in the gut right before I went up. In other words, why are you here? Because that guy leads worship way better than you, because I was pushing the frontiers. Right? Anyways, a few months later, I got up and I had this old book that I got and I taped some scriptures into it. And I said, you know, there's lots of times in nowadays where the devil tries to steal the word of God from us. And so I read, here's a scripture, and I read whatever scripture it was. And I said, you know, some people say that's just for the Jews. And I said, I know some of you have shared with me, you feel that's just for the Jews. So that's not for us today. So let's just take that out. So I just ripped that page out, crumpled it up, and threw it away. Well, they thought I had the Holy Bible. Well, you should have seen, it was like, I saw the claws come out. I mean, I saw all the hair on the back of the cat's neck stand up. I mean, it was like, dun, 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 dun. I wondered how long. I made it through the sermon, but I tore out about 6 different scriptures and just threw them away. Nobody fell asleep that day. There was too much anger coursing through their veins. And then just before the stoning happened, I opened the book up and told them, I said, this is an old book that I just got out of the dumpster. I said, it's not the Bible, and I would never do that. But I said, many of you have done it in your mind because you did the same thing with the scriptures that I did here. You threw it away because you said it's not for me. Boy, it was quiet in the house today. I wonder if they remember any of my other messages. Now, go with me over to Luke chapter 4. I'm hoping to get to, for next week, how to be led by the Spirit of God. So I didn't know that I was allowed. Now, one of the things you find with Jesus continually exposed his disciples to things that made them broaden their perspective of things that God would do. He just continually did things that they would be like, wait a minute, what? How'd you do? He walked on the water. He did the loaves and the fishes. He just did things again and again and again in order to broaden their perspective. But I want you to see Peter start here, okay? So I'm going to read fast. So Luke 4, verse 31 through 41. I'm going to read this whole thing. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue, there was a man with a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him went into every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on them and healed every one of them. And demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew he was the Christ. Now, I want you to notice something here before we go into the next chapter. Peter hears Jesus teach, and it's amazing. He's teaching like, whoa. Sometime we'll talk about why that was. He frees the demon-possessed man right there in church. His mother-in-law is instantly healed. That could have gone either way in Peter's mind. Then his living room. Just get over it. Then his living room becomes a church for the next few hours with healings, deliverances, and miracles. So Peter's there. Peter's a part of all this stuff that's happening, not only in the synagogue, but then at home. And then right there, you know, with his mother-in-law's like, she's healed, and then other. Because I found this years ago, when something happens to my kids, it's worth more to me than something happening to the whole church, because it's your own kids. It's like, wow, that'll change their life. But let's keep reading. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down one net. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What? For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. I remember reading that and thinking, hold the phone here. Wait a minute. Peter's there, and he sees the demon-possessed guy. Well, they were more used to that in their culture. They just chained the demon-possessed guys to a post at the edge of the city, right? I mean, that's what they did back then. Now we put them in insane asylums. But Peter sees that. He hears Jesus teach, and all the people are caught up in that. He sees his mother-in-law healed, and then he sees church at his house. Boom. Devils coming out. People being instantly healed. Just a lineup. Guess what the disciples were doing? They were bringing people through. They were bringing people in. When they would fall out, the disciples were carrying them out as Jesus is ministering and getting all these people free. But it's not until he catches a whole bunch of fish that Peter gets convicted of his sin. Like, why didn't he get convicted of his sin in church? Why didn't he get convicted of his sin when he's watching Jesus sitting there in the chair in the house, casting devils out, healing, devils coming out, healing, devils coming out, healing? He never got convicted of his sin. So I'm asking the Lord about that. I'm saying, like, how does this work? We're talking about the supernatural, right? We're talking about having more of the supernatural. Peter didn't get convicted with the reality of who Jesus was and what he could do until Jesus brought the supernatural into his frame of reference. You don't fish in the morning, you fish at night. You throw your fish out there and before the dawn, and then when the fish are rising and all that, I've been there. So get the picture here. Those boats are about probably 16 feet long, about from that speaker to me. If you've seen the boats that they actually have pulled up over there in Israel, that were those old fishing boats. And they're probably about 5 feet high, maybe 6 feet with the gunwale down low and everything like that. In the front, underneath the front covered part, is the storage. They put some stuff, they put their lunches up there, they put extra things up there. Then you've got three or four benches. Then you've got a section about 8 feet by 8 feet at the back where the nets are. So the guys row the boat, and the guys in the back are throwing the nets out around the back of the boat and then setting the floats so that they can come back later on and pick them up. So they've just finished, and they're cleaning the nets. Jesus says, okay, you know, take me out a little bit from the shore. So they've got at least one net cleaned. There might have been more in there. And Jesus says, okay, after he finishes preaching, he dismisses the people, and he says, throw your nets over. You heard Peter, oh, Lord, you know, you're the carpenter, we're the fishermen, like, ain't going to work. Nevertheless, at your word. Why did he say at your word? Because he'd heard Jesus speak, and he thought there's something on his words. But it still didn't come home. So they throw the nets out. They start to pull them in. There's so many fish, they call their partners over, who were apparently still on the shore. So they weren't very far out, right? Because Jesus is just far enough out that he could preach to the people. Do you ever think about that? Water is one of the best amplifiers for any kind of sound there is. Jesus used the natural amplification of the water, which bounces your voice off, to get to more of the people. They're pulling the fish in. There's so many fish, the nets start to break. They call the other guys. So they're pulling fish in. They're dumping them over the thing like this, and the fish are starting to fill up the backside of this boat. The more fish they get, the more that boat starts to go like this because all the weight is in the back. Are you following my illustration? They finally get them all in. There's fish up to here. Like, there's fish everywhere. And Peter, Jesus sitting over here on the bench, Peter turns around, falls down on his knees with fish up to here now. Come on, think about it, because he's in the middle of the thing and says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. How the heck did a catch of fish convict Peter of sin? because he saw the supernatural work right in his business. And he was like, there's no way this could happen. There's no way this. And isn't it interesting that instead of going, wow, Lord, that was the most awesome thing. Like, what? Can I follow you? Instead, he gets convicted because he realizes, I don't know how to do this. I don't, if you can do this, I don't know how do we, because like, I don't have any explanation for this. Where we've missed it in the church is we haven't brought the supernatural, just like we got told all weekend long last week, we haven't brought the supernatural into places where we work. Because we're too scared to pray because, well, what if it doesn't happen? What if you pray 30 times and nothing happens, but on 31 it does? Come on, you guys. With the way that the world's going and all this garbage they're trying to bring down the pipe, especially here in our wonderful country, we've got to start standing up. We've got to start believing and praying and doing things that bring the supernatural out there. I was preaching in a little church in Barrie, probably 2005. The Lord was pushing me after this is when I was traveling. I told you this is when I started to travel. And the Lord was pushing me, it might have been earlier than that, pushing me, I want you to do more and expect more supernatural when you preach and when you, so have altar calls. So every time I would go somewhere, there would always be altar calls. And I would be praying, saying, Lord, in the hotel beforehand, what do you want me to do? What's the altar call? One of them was always being praying for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was as I stepped out in that I began to get a hold of the methodology that's so successful in seeing people get filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I had this one, we finished praying, and I just felt like we were supposed to come up. I preached on wanting more of God. People come up to the front, and the music was playing quietly in the background. I just sat on the edge of the stage because I wanted God to do it. I wanted God to be moving, and he was teaching me that I didn't need to pray for everybody. He could move without me. Gosh, who knew? So I'm sitting on the edge of the stage, and these two little girls come up, 8 and 9. Think about 8 and 9. And they come up, and they just kneel down right there, about where the front row is, and the stage there was only about 2 steps. And they're there, and I'm just watching the music's playing, and just, you know, praying quietly in the Spirit, whatever the Lord wants to do. And as I'm sitting there watching them, their eyes are open like this, and they go, and they start crying. Well, if you've ever done children's ministry or youth ministry with teenage girls, they cry easily. So I'm watching these two little girls crying, and I'm thinking, well, this is interesting. And every once in a while, they'd open their eyes, and then they'd close their eyes and cry again, you know? And to get two little kids like that crying for like 20 minutes to half an hour on the floor is something else. And so it kind of wound down. I don't remember exactly how we finished it, but I remember that I was sitting on the stage like that, and these two little girls came up, and they're arm in arm, you know, because they're little girls, and they're coming up to see the preacher, and so they're kind of leaning on each other. and they said, Pastor Craig, can we ask you a question? I said, sure, sweetie. Who's that guy standing up there behind you? Because I never saw the guy, right? And I said, well, I don't know. What does he look like? So they start telling me, and they both saw the same thing. It was an angel. They saw this angel, and he was standing there, and suddenly the angel opened their eyes, and he had this big smile. He's looking at them with this, but he's like big. He's like, whoa, you know, I mean, like Arnold Schwarzenegger angel. And they're looking at this guy, and he's just, love is beaming out of them. And they said, and they started to tell me, as soon as they started to tell me about him, because it disappeared by then of course they start crying again. You'll find that often when you have a spiritual encounter, afterwards when you talk about it, that anointing will come right back up because it's something that's been released and something that's been revealed in your spirit. That helped me because I said, God, I want more of that. I want more of those kinds of things where you manifest yourself. I noticed I was preaching in Regina one time, and I was teaching on worship, and I was teaching on stuff to do with worship. And I noticed that the pastor and his wife, who were sitting in the front row, weren't really looking at me. And again, it was a smaller church and smaller stage, and they kept looking up behind me. And I, you know, I thought maybe they were just thinking or taking notes or something like that. But they came up to me afterwards and they'd said, "Did you see the cloud that was behind you up in the back part of the stage?" I said, "What?" Then they talked to their elders. And there was about 10 of them that had all seen this cloud back up in the back, just like a cloud just there in the middle. What is that? Well, it's a sign and a wonder, I guess. I didn't see it. I've never seen it. I've never seen the cloud in all these years. But what God was doing, that's a cloud of glory, right? That's his presence, the manifestation of that presence, and it's a sign. And I just said, "Lord," I said, "if you're going to touch people that way," because see, what he was trying to do was to get me to believe that he would do more than whatever it was that I brought. And if you're a teacher or a preacher or a minister, or you minister to other people, it is a key to get your faith to go, "God, I believe you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or even think." That's one of the scriptures I started praying in January of this year. "I'm believing you for more than I can ask for and more than I can even think." And let me tell you something, I can think pretty good. Let's keep going. Many of us need an encounter with God to move into more of him. Well, what he started me, which is what I told you at the beginning of this message, I didn't know I could ask. I thought, you know, he just does that for the special few, that he just, you know, guys that he really wants to do something with, and boom, he shows up and does what he does, and that guy's blessed, and the rest of us are like, "Oh, wow, look what he got." Until he started to bug me on this, and he said, "You don't believe this for yourself. Start believing it for yourself." And that's when I said, "I'm allowed to ask? Like, I'm allowed to ask for more?" You guys, God wants to be sought. Think about that. He wants to be sought. And how many of us don't ever do that because we become accustomed to our regular, everyday Christianity? And after a while, you just fall into the same rhythms and the same old ruts, right? Okay, go with me to Luke chapter 11. You still here?
Yeah.
How do you open up things in God to move to the next level? It's one of the questions that I asked people when I was traveling. I asked them again and again in different congregations all over the world. I said, "How do you move for the next level from where you are right now to the next thing that God has for you?" Because there has to be a way. We can't just be, "Well, okay, sirrah, sirrah, whatever will be, you know. The future's not up to me, okay, sirrah, sirrah." Some of you that are my age and older remember that. Do you remember who sang it?
Doris Day.
Doris Day. How many of you remember Doris Day? Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the people that their birthday is older than my birthday. Luke 11, verse 9. Jesus is talking, "So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives." Wow, let's just cross that one out, Christians. Because 90% of us don't believe that. We believe it mentally, but we don't believe it's true when we pray. I'm in that bunch. As far as that's a challenge, when you read it, that's a challenge. Everyone who asks receives. "Oh, I asked and I didn't get it." Welcome to the club. That's where we've got to go and find out. Okay, Lord, what happened there? You know, one thing I've found, the older I get and the longer I walk with God, the simpler my questions get. I'm going to say that again. The longer I walk with God, the simpler my questions get. You ever notice that the younger you are, the questions that you ask sometimes can't be answered? "Daddy," what? "Why is the sky blue?" "What grade are you in?" "Romper room." "Well, based on the molecular structure of the air covering around the earth, the kid's not going to get any of what you say. They're going to just sit there, woo." And you just say, "Because it's not green." "Oh, okay." We ask the Lord questions. Lord, why did this happen? Because three generations ago, your great-great-great-grandpa, Uncle so-and-so, opened a demonic door that's caused such and such and such to happen in all of your family ever since then. I had a great-great-grandpa? Whoa! And God's like, right? Laugh or cry, they're both true. One or the other. The older you get, the smarter you get, the simpler your questions get. How about people at work? They find out you're a Christian. Well, if there's a good God, then how come bad things happen to good people? Well, the spirit realm's divided into two. Oh, I never did good at math. And you lose them right there. There's a devil and demons. And the devil fell and apparently took one third of them with him. And he's the tempter in the earth. Well, why did God let that happen? And you're like, oh, for heaven's sake. Somebody asked me that question. I got a way better answer. Well, if there's a good God, how come bad things happen to good people? I say, well, have you ever done anything bad to someone good? It's all about your free will, right? Well, have you ever sinned? Have you ever done something wrong that hurt somebody else? If they say no, end of conversation. And I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. Him who knocks, it'll be open. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a serpent or a stone, pardon me? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil or plain, carnal, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? So notice three things. Ask, seek, knock. Different ways of receiving. Asking is the simplest. You can ask for things from heaven. Mark 11, 24, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire. My New King James says, whatsoever things you ask. The better word there is desire. When you pray, believe you receive and you'll have. Notice that. If you're going to ask for something, you have to believe you receive it when you pray, not when you get it. Lord, I ask for this in Jesus' name. I believe I receive it right now. That's what faith does. I believe I receive it. Lord, I thank you for my new bike. I thank you for my this. I thank you for my that, right? You believe when you receive. But sometimes seeking, asking is not enough. And I'll finish with this thought. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. Well, we love that verse. It's like, whoa, that's God's thoughts towards me. Hallelujah. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, then you will call upon me. Now notice the progression. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I'll listen. He hasn't said he's going to do anything yet. Then you will go call upon me and pray to me and I'll listen. How many times do we and people in the world call upon God and pray to God? And he's like, oh. But there's no indication that he's moving yet. Are you here?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm reading out of the Bible here, not the Tibetan Book of the Dead. You'll call upon me and go pray to me and I'll listen to you. Verse 13, and you'll seek me and you find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found of you, says the Lord. I found this out about God. If you don't mean it with all your heart, he will wait till you do. If you don't mean it with all your, if you don't want it, why do you think it says three times, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, beginning of chapter, end of the chapter, earnestly covet spiritual gifts. Do you know the same thing's true for the Holy Spirit? You have to earnestly want the Holy Spirit. Well, if God wants me to have the Holy Spirit, he'll give them to me. No, he won't. He wants you to have the Holy Spirit ever since Jesus said, this promise is for you and all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Are you born again? If you're born again, you're called. Are you here? Stay with me. So you and I have to want these things from God. Your little kid comes up and says, Daddy, I want a bike. Daddy, I want a bike. Daddy, I want a bike. A seven-year-old. For 3 days. You know if you just outlast him for 3 days, he'll turn his attention to something else. He won't want a bike anymore. But if that kid is on your case for a month, Daddy, I want a bike. 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 You know what happens after about 3 weeks? Oh, for heaven's sake, honey, buy the kid a bike. Right? Isn't that what the Lord said? Talking about the widow and the unjust judge? Didn't even say if he was right. What are you talking about? I'm talking about you and I wanting more spiritually. Do you know who I've found comes to the conferences, to this conference or any other conference? The people that are hungry. If you're not hungry for more of God, you'll stay right where you are. And if you realize, because I remember dealing with people, one guy came up to me and he said, you know what, I'm not hungry. And I wanted to be like, well, get hungry. And then I thought, well, God wants to take all of us from where we are. And I'm praying on the inside. And he said, I don't know what to do. I'm happy. I got a good life. I got a Christian. I said, well, do you want more? He said, well, yeah, you know, if there's more. Well, for heaven's sake, like if there's more, like the rest of the Bible, you know, more. And so I was listening on the inside and I said, why don't you back up to where your heart is? He said, what do you mean? I said, you're telling me that you want more, but you really don't. Like you're kind of good. So I said, why don't you back up to, Lord, would you help me to want more? I want to want more. I don't want more, but I want to want more. Are you following that? What to do? Because God always operates in 100% absolute truth. So you and I have to back up in our heart and say, you know what? I would like more. And what happens when you do that, for many of us, is all of a sudden the things come up where last time you prayed and didn't get it and you got disappointed. And if I open that up again, I'm going to get disappointed again. And you just have to learn to let your heart be open enough and let the Lord be the healer of your heart so that your disappointments don't stop your future receiving. Because our disappointments can shut down us moving ahead in God because we got disappointed when I asked before. I would rather that your heart was tender and willing than it was disappointed, because then you put up the barriers. Why don't you stand up? God wants to bring the supernatural into your and my frame of reference. One of the things that I like, and we'll do it at some point, but if you're in this church and you've never spoken in tongues, dear God, we want that for you. Why? Because you step across the line into the supernatural. You step across the line into, there's only three things. It's either speaking in tongues is either God or the devil or it's foolishness. There's no other place there. And yet the scripture is very clear that if you ask for God for the Holy Spirit. So what am I saying? Put a poll on, as we talk about this over the next little while, put a poll on what do I want from God? And the question, and I'm not going to answer it yet. Well, I did answer it, but you'd have to listen. How do you move from where you are right now into what God has for you next? Ask yourself that question this week. I believe the Holy Spirit will show you the answer, and I gave you the answer a few minutes ago, but I want you to think about that. Because the conference sparked some things that are happening locally and nationally with Cindy and with the other prophets and the prophetic voices about what God's about to do and is doing. So spark yourself with that this week. Okay, God, how do I get more? It's a guarantee that there is more, right? You know that? Wherever you're at, Holy Spirit asked me one time. He said, do you have all of the Holy Spirit that you want? I said, of course not. Well, then how do you get more? So, Father, we pray this morning and we thank you for every person that's in here. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life this morning, this is a great opportunity to come and open your heart this morning in a prayer and say, I want Jesus. I want to know more about this. It's not just joining a church or something. It's being a part of the kingdom of God and knowing that you go to heaven when you die. And if that's you this morning, when we're done, I would like you to come up and see Pastor John, who's over here to my right. Pastor John is a wonderful man of God who led thousands of people to Jesus. And he'll show you how easy it is to receive Jesus. And then you got to begin to walk for him with the rest of your life. For those of you who are looking and saying, God, I want more. Lord, this week, I pray that you would begin to bring this up in people's hearts as we move into this year of so much change and so much good and so much bad coming down the pipe towards us. And I thank you, Lord, that we walk with you without fear, but with blessing and with strength. I pray over you this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you need prayer this morning, come on up. One of our prayers will pray for you. If you need healing on something, come on up and let our prayers pray. If you need prayer, don't leave the house of God today without getting somebody to come and pray for you.
Hey everybody, thank you for joining us online today. We hope you enjoyed the service. If you'd like more information about Southside Victory Church, download our app from the App Store, follow us on social media, or check out our website at svcf.ca. If you'd like to hear more from Pastor Craig, you can check out www.timesofrefreshing.com or follow Times of Refreshing on social media to see if he's speaking in a city near you. You can connect with the church anytime, give us a phone call, or send us an email. Thanks again for joining us in building a community of believers together. We'll see you next week.